people that go crazy.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Milwaukee, stand yeah. up, yeah. stand up.
It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we got guests. We got Myra Edwards and Rachel Zielinski from NPS Foundation Scholarship. In studio, how y'all doing?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Look,
thank you.
I'm excited to have y'all in here because we talking scholarships, we talking powerful resources for seniors and many first generation college goers. That's right. This is amazing. Now, how long has the NPS Foundation been around?
Since 1998, and it was reestablished in 2016 after having not had a lot of activity mm-hmm. in some years between then. And so we'd like to think we're approaching our 10th year of reestablishment.
Mm. And Rachel, what is your involvement with the NPS Foundation?
So I'm our special events and engagement coordinator. So I run all of our special events as well as our scholarship program.
Now, NPS Foundation gave out $150,000 in scholarships to 32 students last year. Why is it important to have these scholarships for students, many times first-generation students of color?
Yes. So this is a great opportunity for students who maybe are underprivileged or don't have the resources to go to college. This allows them to have the financial support that they might need. And for those students that have never navigated college before, we are here to support them through all walks of that. So whether it's applying for the scholarship itself, there's also resources within MPS to help them apply for colleges and different resources like that.
This question is for Myra Edwards. Can you explain how high school seniors go about applying for MPS Foundation scholarships from start to finish? Like what is the process that they have to go through to actually be available for those scholarships to be available to them?
Well, I really have to give Rachel credit for helping us build the format and the platform for doing that. Students are brought to our attention by way of their school counselors, and they're usually advised into some of the scholarship opportunities that the foundation holds, and as well as those outside of the NPS Foundation. And so students are directed to us, and what they will find once they apply is that there are criteria for different scholarships on our website. And so you could scroll down from alphabetically from top to bottom and find out about all of the scholarship opportunities. They go about applying for those scholarships based on the tech setup, if you will, that we have for each page. And they proceed to provide all the information that's asked for. I think Rachel can give you a better idea of some of the specificity that we ask for on that site.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work closely with the MPS school counselors and let them know when our scholarships are up live on our site. So that will be starting, I believe, beginning of February until March. They get a link to our AwardSpring, which is where all of our scholarships are housed. When they get to AwardSpring, they create an account with their email and a password that is unique to them. They then answer general questions that will match them with each individual scholarship. So each, like Myra said, each scholarship has its own criteria. It might be minimum or maximum GPA. It might be involvement in extracurricular activities, anything, maybe a certain high school or intended major, but whatever they answer on their general application will then create the applications that are available to them.
The foundation offers more than 20 different scholarships.
We actually, this year, we are probably closer to 30, 35.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And when you talk about having this available, how do we get the word out other than coming on the Tory Lowe Show? And a lot of these kids, when they talk about first-time generation, you know, many times their parents may not have went to college. But like I heard that y'all helped walk them through the process as well.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. So we share on our social medias, whether it be our LinkedIn or our Facebook, when we have scholarships live. So right now we actually have a Bucks and Johnson Controls scholarship that is live through December 19th for any MPS high school seniors that will be graduating this May. So check out our social media to stay up to date on when they are live. There are links there that'll take you straight to where you need to apply.
And how do you match? How do you help the student match with the right scholarship?
So it depends on them answering certain questions. So we have a general application that covers, it asks questions like, what's your minimum GPA? What high school are you graduating from? What colleges may you have applied for and got accepted to already? Their answers to those questions will then create a list of scholarships that they're eligible for. So it'll only show them scholarships that they're applicable for and nothing else.
Mm. Now, go right ahead, Mara.
I just wanted to answer around some of the things that we coordinate with. So we are not an instrument of MPS, but we are supportive only of MPS.
Right.
And so there are things that take place, activities that take place for seniors, for graduating seniors through the College and Careers Office of MPS, and we coordinate strongly with that. So they had just recently concluded during HBCU week the Empower Me Tour, the United Negro College Fund Tour, and we have a presence there.
Okay.
And so that also is a nice touch point for us to make students aware of the scholarship opportunities that are going to be going online in the early part of the year. We also participate with the Bucks, like Rachel mentioned, the Bucks and Johnson Controls. They have a special scholarship opportunity, and they also, as you probably already know, feature HBCUs,
yes,
in one of their designated games.
Yep,
and so we coordinate with that as well.
Oh, that's amazing!
Yeah,
that's amazing. The scholarship review team includes people from schools and nonprofits. How do you make sure that the selection process is fair?
Well, we, again, working with MPS and community members, we make sure that the representation in that review group mirrors the population of the school district, which we know is predominantly children of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are people also that to some degree volunteer for that opportunity and have some expertise in kind of reviewing those materials using a rubric that we feel is very fair and credible toward making sure that the right students get the right opportunity.
Okay. How can you understand when we talk about MPS, a lot of things that children, a lot of struggles that children go through. Can you tell us a story about how the scholarship has helped a student achieve their goals?
I actually have on my piece of paper right here a quote from one of our winners last year. Who said, I'm headed to UW-Madison because someone I've never met believed in me, and that's the power of your generosity.
Oh, wow.
I think that just shows how meaningful this is to our students to have someone in their lives, because they might not have a parent or a guardian that is super supportive of their dreams. Just to know that someone's out there mm-hmm. willing to support them and believe in them.
Oh, I'm telling you, you get that scholarship money, and you feel good. You mm-hmm. know, you apply for a lot of scholarships. I remember when I was a senior And some of the students already had an insight, you know, some of the students that was tapped in already had an insight on what to apply for. But I was one of those kids that I needed a counselor, you know, to help me navigate through all of that.
Yeah.
So that's powerful. That's
powerful. We have family history. I do. Of my father and my mother being first generation college students. And my mother in particular was, she and her sister were first generation high school graduates. So the history of college attainment goes back far for me. And I personally attended an HBCU that, you know, believe it or not, even with the right support, it's not always easy to make it to that post-secondary opportunity. And so with that lived experience, I think that guides the kind of thinking. And Rachel, I found her to be so like-minded about creating ample opportunities for post-secondary education. And as a team, I think all of us, there are others that are a member of our team, but all of us have the same point of view about what it means to create that opportunity for young people.
Now, the foundation encourages people to donate. How can the community help assist with what y'all got going on?
Well, I think there's always a starting point. There's an interest in helping kids. And so we can advise them into starting their own scholarship fund. And that's primarily what we have at the foundation. We have, I think, over 30, almost 40 scholarship opportunities and growing. And when we find that there's interest in a specific way for a family or an individual to be able to reach back and help MPS kids, we usually suggest that's a really good way to start.
That's powerful. Hey, look, before we run a break, is there anything that y'all want the community to know, how they can get involved, how they can help or how you can help them? I'm going to give you the last words before we go to break.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to talk with you today. We really appreciate it. I think awareness is the thing that we want people to come into knowing. Knowing that the foundation is that apparatus that allows people who think that maybe their means are limited or they don't necessarily have the money to support the district in the way that they would like to, that this is a really good starting point for a small investment, and we can make it, leverage it rather, in a way that really helps a lot of kids. There are many ways to give to the foundation, but making people aware that the foundation is there is what we're about right now. So thank you.
Is there a .com or a place that people
there
can go?
There is. MPSFDN.org.
MPSFDN.
Okay. Daring.
Okay.
N.org. D-O-R-G.
Well, look, Myra Edwards and Rachel, I appreciate y'all for coming through. This is amazing. You know, scholarships are very powerful in young people's lives. And this is Scholarship Month right here on The Truth. And I appreciate when we can get this information out here to the public so they can use it as so. And once again, amazing work being done. Over $150,000 in scholarships given to students last year. This is what I'm seeing. So that's amazing. So continue to do the great work. And thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and to be partnered with you on making sure kids have an opportunity beyond MPS.
All right, Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show. Great interview. Anytime we can get information out there about some scholarships, I'm hoping that Truth Nation can get involved. A lot of these kids need them scholarships to go on to the next level when they get out of high school. Once again, the MPS Foundation, MPS Foundation, they are giving out scholarships. Salute to Myra, Rachel, for coming through, having these conversations. But I want to get into this story that I feel that many times we don't think about this. We think about the birth. We get excited about people coming into this world. And then we get sad when people leave this world. But this was an interesting story that I wanted to cover today because I saw this over the weekend. And I want to bring it to the front of Truth Nation to have a conversation about this. There was a pair of twins. They were called the Kessler twins. And they died by joint suicide. They died by joint suicide, which means that they paid for an assistant to help them pass away. Like they chose like the death date. And it's legal. It's legal in states that are these states are assisted suicide states where it's legal. It's called assisted suicide. And these Kessler twins did this. And I want to run their story. I want to talk about this because I don't know what to think about this. This is something that they decided to do. They wanted to go out together and leave this earth together. They planned it. They made a plan. They paid somebody. And this is legal. In Colorado, California, Delaware, D.C., Hawaii, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. We got the story as we broadcast live. We got some video. Let's listen.
Twin entertainers from back in the day, the Kessler sisters, have died by assisted suicide at 89. Alice and Ellen Kessler were born inside Nazi Germany. In 1952, their family fled, and then the pair became international superstars once they were free. They appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show, represented Germany in the 1959 Eurovision Song Contest, and made history for, get this, being the first female stars to show their legs on screen. That is how long ago this was. During the height of their fame, they were close with the likes of Frank Sinatra, Fred Astaire, Elvis Presley, Rock Hudson, all the big guns. Now, the duo told an Italian news outlet that they wanted to, quote, leave together on the same day. Now, assisted suicide has been legal in Germany since 2020, as long as the decision is made without outside pressure. And about a year ago, the twins joined an organization in Germany that promotes the practice. They met with a lawyer and a doctor to discuss it before they went through with it. They will reportedly be buried alongside their mother, Elsa, and their dog, Yellow.
All right. Here we go with another topic with a question. I got a question. I mean, some people want to decide the death date. Motor Elephant already on. He said, that sounds about rich and white, if you ask me. This is what he said. This is what Motor Elephant said online. Well, I'll say this. Should a person be able to choose when they leave this earth? And I'm not talking about suicide because we frown on suicide. I frown on suicide. I say, why kill yourself? I'm not for that. I remember there was a whole bunch of stuff that was going on with Dr. Gavorkian. Was that Dr. Gavorkian? He was going around assisting people in this. And people was upset with him. Very upset that people were choosing to use him as in a way to assist the, you know, with ending their life. But I want to know, this is my question of the day. Should people be able to decide What if they say, okay, I want to leave here 20 years from now on December 25th? That doesn't sound right to me.
Talking about like booking it like a vacation?
Like booking it, like making a date for it. This is what assisted suicide, right? And this is weird because these people were excited to do this. How much did they pay, Andrew?
$69,000 apiece.
$69,000. $69,000. Now, you can't do that in the state of Wisconsin. No, not where we live. You cannot have an assisted suicide in the state of Wisconsin. This is illegal. And if you do it, you're going to get in trouble. And I'm going to come and get you. Going to get in trouble by Tory Law. You're going to be in trouble. But I'm seeing these weird trends now. And this is something that made me raise an eyebrow because I started doing my research. And states where assisted suicide is legal is California, Colorado, Delaware, D.C., Hawaii, Maine, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. That to me is, it just makes me raise an eyebrow that these states says, okay, you know what? You can pick the time you want to leave this earth. But we was brought up to, like, if we passed away, it was in God's hands. Man trying to control what God, you know, trying to control the time you leave here. What do y'all think about this? I got a poll in here. I want to do a quick check in the polls. We got the poll as we broadcast live on YouTube, Tory Lowe Show. Do you think people should be able to choose when they leave this earth? Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Just a weird story about the Kessler twins that decided to have a joint death date. This is what they wanted to do. They $96,000 to do this. Question of the day. Do you think people got a right to choose when they leave this earth? I don't. I really don't. I believe that, you know, you let it happen natural. But then again, you see a lot of different people believing a lot of different things. So I'm just leaving it up to Truth Nation. Do you believe that, you know, somebody may say, hey, look, I want to be out of here in 2 years. Then they might throw a party. You might get to talk to them, hang out for a second. Then, you know, they go and do the surgery or whatever they do. That's just wild to me to think that, you know, this is what it's coming to. Right when you think you'd have seen it all. I guess you haven't. I'd never heard of this. I mean, I thought it was just, you shouldn't be doing, you should allow your time to, you know, let it be from the natural causes, or, you know, a lot of people don't die naturally, though. You got to realize a car accident, people getting shot, people, you know, losing their life due to murder, you know. This is what they say is a million ways to die, you know. So I don't know. It's just interesting to see that this is something that people are choosing to do, and that there are states that's allowing this to happen.
You know, it's kind of like people wanting to go to their own funeral, Tory, to like see what people say about them and stuff. You do this, you kind of get that, I guess.
I've seen this on Coming to America Part 2, where the king, Jaffe Jofer, was alive at his funeral, then he passed away at his funeral. You know, that's crazy. Like, and now to see this happening in real life with these twins, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out on a whole block of things. I never saw this world. I never, you know, usually when I deal with it, it's in a way that we see it all the time. You know,
someone may have got depressed and things like that, and we try to encourage them and things like that if we can, but then it happens. So like I said, I don't know. I'm not for it. I'm not for that type of behavior. But I guess some states say, hey, they agree that you can, if you can pay for it.
What's stranger to you, the cloning of like the pets and dogs that we had last week or this?
This. Because they went out and kicked it. They went out, you know, they knew what was going to happen. They hung out. And then, boom. That's weirder to me. To me than anything. But, hey, take the poll. We got the poll. If y'all want to take the poll, do people have a right to choose the date that they exit the world? I want to know. Sincere Ronnie Ray Real says, so what if someone was suffering? Would you rather for them to keep suffering or keep them there, denying them choice? And that's a tough question as well, because let's say you're in the hospital and you don't feel well and you be like, I want to move. I want to go on with my life in the next life. You know, I want to move on into the next life. And a lot of people will keep that person going because of how they feel and ignore the wishes of the person. I've seen it. I've had people say, let me go on. Don't try to keep me here. So I guess you got to write out a will. I guess if you write it in the will or have it prepared, then it won't be up to anybody to make that decision. But I also saw that too. I saw that somebody said, hey, if something happens and they want to keep me here, I don't want to be. I'd have seen that too. So, hey, is it how much does the person that's, you know, who, what they call a legal guardian, you know, the person that has the say in the family that you put on your contract, you can set that up.
You have a will?
I got one.
Me
I got
too.
A will, yeah. I definitely got one. I think I did that like 5 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago, I got one. Because like I said, I mean, you want to make sure if you're smart, you have one, you know, to try to make sure that your wishes are there beyond you being able to speak. You know, what if you can't speak? Young Money says, trust wills skips the state. Not really a city girl says, we can choose death just like many other things, but what we can't decide is what waits us and the choices we've made beyond death. Yeah, I mean, this is what a lot of people have to come to grips with. I remember it took me a long time to come to grips with dealing with death. Because, you know, you don't want to see the person in your life leave this earth. But as I grew older and the more of my elders that passed, that I had to deal with certain situations and different types of things that I've seen over my years, it lets me know, you got it. This is a part of life you got to be prepared for. But a lot of people ain't got life insurance either. You know, you should have some life insurance. You know, I've buried a lot of people that lost their life to senseless violence that didn't have life insurance. And no parent ever thinks that they're going to bury their child. Like, you know, they think that they're going to go first. But I learned that you better have something on everybody. You know, everybody in the family needs some type of insurance, because you never know, especially in environments where the randomness is at an all-time high, where you don't know what's going on. Once you walk outside, reckless driving, people are acting irresponsibly. You may want to have some insurance just to make sure that if something did happen, that there is provisions. And it took me a long time to understand that. And I got it as an adult. But when you're a kid and you in high school and you going to college, you're not even thinking about that. And if you have parents that don't have the understanding to pass it down, you don't even think about it. Hey, 833-212-1017. I want to open up the lines. Do you believe that people should have a right to choose when they leave this earth? I'm one of those people that I might try to hold on. Don't leave it up to me. I might try to, you know, and I know you might be in pain, and I know you, I might be a little selfish. I might keep you here as long as I can. I might try to say, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to keep my loved one here. Even if I have to give up a kidney or something, I mean, I'm going to try to ask, is there something I can do? Can I give something? You know, we just had the tissue and organ person up in here, Annie. We had Ann in here talking about tissue and organ donation. Do they need something from me? That's how I might feel about it. I'm not there all the way yet. I guess I'm not there. The news story did give a reason beyond they were 89. It would be a different story if either were on life support or terminally ill. 69K each died just sounds selfish, to be honest. Yeah. But like I said, you know, I didn't know that it was that deep that the states, it's legal. Thank God I live in Wisconsin, because I could keep you on life support. I'm gonna try to hold on. I'm gonna try to hold on to you, but I'm gonna move on. If y'all want the question of the day, should people choose to leave this earth? I think that some people, and somebody said it was rich people, you gotta have some money. I don't know. I don't think poor people trying to leave like that. Or middle class. I mean, if you got something to live for, you know, I don't see this as the case. But 833-212-1017. We got the poll. What are they saying in the poll? What are they saying?
It is 50-50 right now, Tori.
50-50? Wait a minute. 50-50? Wow. I thought it would be no, over astounding no. 833-212-1017. We got Brian on the lines. Brian, how you doing, brother?
Yeah.
Brian? How you doing, brother Brian?
Hey, how you doing? I would say real quick that I think people have a right to, you know, kill themselves, yeah. But the flip side of that is if you have life insurance and you opt to do that, don't expect your loved ones to get anything.
Ain't no payout.
They're not going to pay out for voluntary suicide. Not going to happen.
Right.
So
I know that. Hey, Brian, they zapping you. They zapped you off the lines. They didn't want you to throw that out. Look, let me tell you something. If you got insurance, the suicide don't pay like that. You know, and this is why I try to tell people, like, all the time, like, we got to start talking about a lot of this, because a lot of families will call me and they loved one have been injured, victimized, lost their life. Now we got to get the GoFundMes up, because they ain't got no money for the funeral. And I'm the king of raising money for funerals around here. I think in 16 years, I think I'm up over like a $1.2 million for funerals. Funerals is not cheap. Hey, look, when we come back, I want to get into the story, the Slender Man stabbing, the girl that stabbed in this, one of the girls, Morgan Geyser, she went missing. We're going to talk about it when we get back. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. I want to get into this Slender Man story because, once again, we talked about the Slender Man girls and they were getting out. We knew it was something going on mentally, but we thought that they should have stayed in prison. A lot of people thought that they should have never got out. But this kind of proves everybody right. Morgan Geyser, they said she went missing. She cut the brace off, you know, the monitoring brace, and they caught her in Illinois. We got video. If you're watching this, we broadcast live. Let's listen.
We are reaching out to the Dane County District Attorney's Office to comment about what will happen with Geyser next. Attorney Jonathan Lavoie, who is not connected to this case, says she will likely return to a state hospital. Now, police say Morgan Geyser cut off her monitoring bracelet and escaped a group home Saturday night. The Wisconsin Department of Corrections received an alert. Her GPS bracelet was cut, sparking investigators to begin the search. Madison police sending out an alert Sunday morning of Geyser's escape. At the time, Geyser was last seen on near Cronky Drive with another person. In 2017, Geyser admitted she tried to kill Peyton Leuter to please the fictional horror character Slenderman. The attack happened in 2014, where Geyser and her friend took Leutner to a park. Geyser then stabbed Leutner 19 times. Geyser was found not criminally responsible due to mental illness. Back in March, state officials argued Geyser could not be trusted for release after finding out she did not tell her therapist she was reading a book about murder and black market organ sales. Lavoie says Geyser has now broken any sort of trust she may have had with the courts and hospitals.
No, throw her back.
We don't know whether...
Throw her back in there. You know, she shouldn't have never got out. And they spent all that time arguing about trying to get this girl out. And a lot of people was like, no, this ain't... I guess she was the mastermind. I think she was the one that was the actual mastermind. The other girl was just kind of going along. And I'll say this, regardless, it's murder or attempted murder. That's all I'm saying. Regardless of how ever it went down, they shouldn't have never got out of jail. This is why I match their story with a lot of stories that go on in the neighborhood that kids make mistakes, and there's some kids that had incidents in Milwaukee, and they got more time than the Slender Man girls. And I said, hey, I always refer back to this story and how they use the mental health as a way to get them to come out of jail. But I'm going to tell you this. When she went for her little tirade, they found her in Illinois. Who is the person that took her to Illinois? One of her friends. What you say?
42-year-old boyfriend.
42-year-old boyfriend. She got a boyfriend?
Allegedly.
So they went out on an escapade. He went and got that fresh out of jail type romance.
They were found sleeping on concrete. So gives
you
an idea.
I mean, he had nowhere to go.
Book them both.
Yeah, he need to go. He just as crazy as she is. They found him sleeping on the concrete. All right. And y'all wondering if y'all boyfriend going to take y'all to the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know.
Damn.
This right here is just sick.
If he wanted to, he would, right?
He ain't got nowhere. I wonder how they get gas. If you sleeping on the concrete, how did they get to Illinois? He couldn't drive it. They got on the bus? I'm not familiar. This was a long weekend for me. I'm not familiar with. All I saw was she was missing, and then they got him. That's it. Wow. Crazy story. Crazy, crazy story. Sincere Ronnie Ray Real in the chat says she straight played herself. What you do that for? Did he just say she'll be returning back to the hospital? Wow.
He lives in a group home.
So the boyfriend lived in a group home. So they met in the group home. I mean, if they wanted to, you know, have some alone time, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to do this. But back to jail. Back to jail. Also, there's a story of a man that was struck by the Milwaukee County Transit bus in Greenfield. They said that they found the man, on the ground, and they had got him some help, but later found out that he had got hit by the Milwaukee County bus in Greenfield. We got this story. If you're watching this, we broadcast live. We got some video. Let's listen.
Everybody who stayed on scene was generally trying to help this individual.
Maureen Fox says Saturday evening it was a team effort to keep a man hit by a Milwaukee City bus alive.
I received a phone call from my daughter that she was out here doing CPR on a gentleman who had just been struck by a vehicle, at which point I came running out here to see if I could assist.
Greenfield police say a 61-year-old man was hit by a city bus traveling east on Forest Home Avenue. Milwaukee County Transit says the incident happened around 6:47 p.m. near 56th and Forest Home. The driver of the bus is a 55-year-old man. MCTS says he is currently on leave, which is standard protocol. He and the passengers on the bus were not injured in the incident. The man hit went to Frederick Hospital and later died. In a statement, MCTS says, "We at Milwaukee County Transit System extend our deepest sympathy to the family and friends who lost their loved one."
And neighbors tell me past sunset, this intersection is not very well lit, making it hard to see any pedestrian in the area.
I just feel like everybody was really taking the time to step together and work together to try to help this man and save his life.
Marcella is a nurse and one of the first people to get to the man. She says in just minutes, people worked to keep the man alive as paramedics arrived.
I would hope that anybody in that situation would do the same, whether you have healthcare experience or not.
Timothy McAfee lives just steps away from where the crash happened.
Kind of made me feel a little safer knowing there's people like that around because I live here. And if I'm ever found laying on the sidewalk, I hope somebody knows how to help me out.
In Greenfield, Andrew.
All right, so did they ever say how he got hit?
They said that that bus, I guess, couldn't see him when he was crossing the road as like a pedestrian.
Right.
But I didn't see a crosswalk there.
So you're saying he just kind of was crossing in the middle of the street?
I think the guy might have just been crossing the middle of the street.
Okay, so the bus didn't see it?
No, because he was coming over the hill with the sun in the eyes.
Okay. Here we go. I don't know.
Look both ways, right?
That's why I say just you got to look, keep your head on a swivel and look both ways before you cross the streets. But this is just one of those stories where you hear about people getting hit by the bus, but, man, even in the chat, somebody said that they loved one got hit by a bus. Young Money says, my uncle Robert Clemens was killed and struck by a MCTS bus on Christmas last year. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, you would think with all the big lights that the bus got, that big old windshield, and I'm just saying. Here we go. Here we go. Look, we gonna run the break. And when we come back, I got a story that I need to talk to y'all about. This is something that was very interesting. About women in salon, women in salons, women's trying to leave the salon without paying, and something bad took place. I want to talk about that when we get back. Make sure you pay your beautician. We're going to talk about it when we get back. Truth Nation, stay locked in.